You're listening to the Orlando Sentinel's College Gridiron 365 podcast. Hosts Brant Parsons and Matt Mershell give their perspective on the hottest topics in college football. Now let's get on with the show.
And welcome to another edition of College Gridiron 365 podcast. Fresh off the latest rankings, I'm Brant Parsons with Matt Mershell. And Matt, I was not expecting a reaction to these rankings, but I had an actual reaction to the rankings tonight. I didn't think much would change. No big upsets last weekend. Nothing that you would think would have impacts, but there was one change that did affect me and one change that didn't. We'll start with the one that did, and that was Miami jumping Clemson from number three to number two. And I'm just going to jump right into the deep end here with you, Matt. But Alabama stays number one. Oklahoma stays number four. All the rest of the top, 13 or 14 are still the same, except for two and three. But Miami jumps Clemson, which I'm fine with. I felt they should have been there all along. But Miami jumps Clemson at number two. It was the reasoning that set me off, Matt. And Kirby Hokut on ESPN afterwards saying that the reason Miami jumped Clemson is because they trailed Virginia by 14 points twice in that game and came back to win. And I remember back in 2014 when Florida State didn't win real well in a game and dropping to number three because they didn't win impressively. But anyway, that's my first reaction. What was your first reaction to the rankings tonight?
Well, I mean, I think what was interesting to me was going into this weekend or this week's rankings, I think we've assumed that pretty much from 1 through 12 to 13 wouldn't change much, you know, because it was a pretty ho-hum weekend of college football. I think throwing Miami at that two spot just basically showcases the fact that Syracuse loss to Clemson losing a little bit of its luster, you know. I mean, I think you talked about, I know Kirby Hokut mentioned a couple weeks that they've discussed, the selection committee has discussed, you know, the injury to Kelly Bryant, the quarterback, during that game, and that was the reason why they had Clemson ranked above the way they did. But obviously that lost a little bit. I think NC State falling out of the rankings hurt them a little bit as well. So, you know, to see Miami move in that top spot, again, when it's all said and done, Miami, Clemson face each other in the ACC championship. Whoever wins that game, more than likely, is definitely in. But there's an interesting dilemma of if Miami were to lose and have one loss and lose in a close game, could Miami find its way into the playoff and the ACC have two teams in there for the first time in the playoff era that we could have two teams from the same conference in? So there's a lot there. It's just going to take another week or so to unpack it all before we're able to find out what we really have here.
The other reaction for me, and a full disclosure, I am a UCF grad, but I started in media within before I even graduated, in fact. I was already working in media, in sports media. So I never really, I wouldn't call myself a homer, but I can see through things through a UCF fan's mind. And the fact that UCF did not move this week, stayed at number 15, Mississippi State with their three losses jumped them this week. I really thought with Oklahoma State losing that UCF would move up at least 1 to 14. I know we've talked about this ad nauseum, as it doesn't matter as long as UCF wins out there in the Peach Bowl. But I understand the respect portion of it and the fact that UCF sits there at 15. And you asked Kirby about this, and his response I think is interesting and maybe something UCF fans might want to hear.
Yeah, I mean, basically I asked him, you know, why, you know, UCF being undefeated got leapfrogged by Mississippi State, a team with three losses. And Kirby Hokut said that, you know, the committee likes what UCF is doing, but in the end, they put UCF's schedule up side by side with Mississippi State's schedule, and the three losses that Mississippi State had were to the number one team in Alabama, they were to the number six team against Auburn, and the number seven team against Georgia. And his response to me basically was, you know, if you had to face those three teams, you would more than likely wouldn't be undefeated either. So I don't know if UCF fans were going to buy that argument. I mean, because again, Mississippi State does have some really bad wins against UMass, you know, and against Arkansas. But the thing that continues to haunt UCF, and the thing that will continue to haunt UCF, is the schedule. You know what I mean? I think the schedule has been the issue that the selection committee has had with them. I know USF is a good team, but again, they weren't in the ranking again this week, so that doesn't help their cause when you're looking at it. I think if UCF wins this week and they go to the American, you know, Conference Championship and face a Memphis team that's ranked number 20, I think that might help them a little bit move up. I still am in the belief that I don't think a Group of Five team is going to rank any higher than 12 in the next couple of years, unless you have a schedule that faces maybe two or three teams that are ranked in the top 25 on your schedule, because it's just hard for a Group of Five team to get that kind of momentum with all the Power Five teams surrounding them.
Matt, before we move on for the rankings, was there anything else that stood out to you? And I mean, like I said, it was kind of ho-hum. I didn't even turn it on until 7:06. I forgot that it was even coming on. They were already up to number 16, you know, the 16 and the 20 part of the rankings. But was there anything else that stood out to you about these rankings before we move on and start looking ahead to this weekend?
Well, I think to me, when I look up and down, you know, I mean, the SEC had six teams in the top 25 this week. That's the most of any teams. We had been talking about this for about a month ago. What was wrong with the SEC? Why was the SEC, you know, doing so well? Obviously, they must be doing something right to still have six teams ranked in there. The ACC only had three. The Big Ten had five. So I think it's interesting that the ACC kind of struggling a little bit towards the end with some of their teams kind of falling out. And the Group of Five now having three teams ranked in the top 25, with UCF, Memphis, and Boise State moving up to 23 of the Mountain West. So, again, there's a good mix. I think this weekend we'll see a little bit of change, but I think really it's going to be conference championship week where I think you'll definitely see the overall switch that we'll see the top four teams rise to the top.
2 weeks left to play, Matt. This is rivalry weekend through most of college football, and the big one taking place down on the plains in Alabama. When the number one Crimson Tide head across the state to take on number six Auburn. And Matt, I mean, this game, so many, I mean, just the game itself, the Iron Bowl itself has so many subplots to it. On a national scale, though, so many things to look at this. You have Alabama, who possibly is still a playoff team, even with a loss against Auburn, depending on how it happens. Auburn, the top-ranked two-loss team. When Auburn looks good, they look like they can beat in Alabama. When Alabama has not looked as strong, they look like they can get beat by a team like Auburn. This game is going to have all the eyes of the country watching it. And I'm curious to see Alabama. Their strength of schedule has picked up a little bit with the wins over LSU, the close win over Mississippi State. They have not been tested like they will be tested on Saturday. I'm curious to see how they come out. We know the injury problems and depth issues on the defense. And Auburn, you know, what can you say about a team whose fan base was ready to ditch the coaching staff a couple weeks ago and are now talking about how they can beat Auburn and Georgia and end up back in the playoff or in the playoff at the end of the season? So many reasons to watch this game on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Also the fact, you know, ESPN threw the stat out there that the winner of this series has gone on to play in the national championship in seven out of the last eight meetings. So you're pretty much looking at a team right now that could find its way into the title game if all things are said and done. And I agree with you. I mean, this is an interesting story. I mean, one aspect, Auburn, you know, a month and a half ago, Auburn fans were ready to ditch Gus Malzahn, you know, to try to fire him and get someone else put in there. Now they're, you know, if he beats Alabama and they get into the SEC championship game and they beat, you know, Georgia in a rematch, and he goes to the playoff, I think it'd be awful hard for them to ditch him. It may be the opposite. It may be Gus Malzahn who leaves, if you want to believe some of the rumors that are out there that may be interested in that Arkansas job, you know, when Brett Bielema finally gets pushed out the door. So a lot going on here. To me, it's Alabama. It's always Alabama. They always seem to find a way to win games. The last time that Auburn won the game in this series was the infamous kick six game. Obviously, when Chris Davis returned that failed field goal 100 yards with no time on the clock to give them the win. So Alabama seems to find a way to win these games. I think this could be a close game. I think it's going to be a good game. I think it could be one of the best games of the day looking forward.
And some other games that have national implications, maybe on one side, not certainly on both levels as the Alabama-Auburn game, but rivalry games that I'm keeping an eye on. Number three, Clemson, heads to play South Carolina, the Gamecocks playing as well as they have in recent years. They've made the top 25. You have Georgia and Georgia Tech. Georgia still holding out hope that they can get back into this thing if they beat Georgia Tech and then go on to win the SEC title game. Certainly, I think they're a team that could get up into the playoff. And then that long shot sitting up there in Columbus, Ohio. Ohio State with their two losses heads to the Big House to play Michigan in their annual rivalry, the game. That's at 12 o'clock on Saturday. Those three games, which of those intrigues you the most? I mean, they're all rivalry games. They're all fun to watch, and it'd be interesting to see what happens on the field. But which one are you watching the most in that one?
Well, I'm definitely watching Ohio State, Michigan. I mean, I think when you look at it, obviously Ohio State has wrapped up their division. They're going to play Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship game. This game really is about, you know, for Ohio State, they have to win this game. I mean, you know, if they want any shot at the playoff, they got to win. And, you know, you look at on the flip side of this, you know, with Michigan. Michigan is 1-6 against teams ranked in the top 10 in the last three seasons under Jim Harbaugh, including an 0-2 mark against Ohio State. So all the buzz that Jim Harbaugh has created for the Wolverines and the Michigan program, he hasn't had the results, I think, that some people believed he was going to have. And I think this is an opportunity right now for Michigan to play spoiler. You know, if they can somehow find a way to upset Ohio State, you know, yes, you know, they knocked them out of the playoff hunt. It probably kind of caps off a rather disappointing season for Michigan. And, you know, it really kind of maybe sets the table up for next season. Now, if he doesn't win and Ohio State wins, then I think there's going to be some growing concern and some growing questions about whether or not Jim Harbaugh, you know, as much as they've put together solid seasons, is he the guy really to get them over that hump, because they still haven't beaten the quality teams they need to beat.
Yeah, Michigan's still looking for that signature win. Obviously, in this rivalry, they certainly have played spoiler many times to Ohio State, probably more times to Ohio State than Ohio State has played to them, but that is kind of a consistent storyline in that series, and that's what they'll be looking to do on Saturday. A game I'm watching is going to take place on Saturday night, and it's Clemson visiting South Carolina. Clemson sitting there at number 3. They can't afford a second loss. They're going to play a South Carolina team who is playing very well. They have that win over Florida coming off the loss of Georgia, but in that stretch, they've won 5 of 6. They're winning games they're supposed to win. They're moving the ball on offense, which is interesting under a Will Muschamp coach team. Jenk Bentley at quarterback. If he'd been at the quarterback for any of those Florida teams, maybe Muschamp is still at Florida. He's really been able to figure out how to move the offense. He also is able to run the ball some. I want to see, this is a rivalry game, I want to see Clemson tested on the road. I know they have a great pedigree of wins this year. They have not looked as strong in the second half of the season. This is going to be a game for me, for Clemson to really restate their case to the committee, to us, to anybody. I think they'll have a chance to do that. This is not your everyday South Carolina team. This is going to be a real test for the Tigers.
Yeah, and what really does help them, if you think about it, is, you know, like I said earlier, I don't know how much movement we'll see in the rankings next week, but definitely a win over by Clemson over a South Carolina team that's ranked 24th now should give them enough maybe to move them back up into that number 2 spot if Miami, you know, struggles against Pitt this week, you know, or even if they win that game. Because, again,
it's going to be another struggle and come back and win, then they'll get more credit.
Yeah, there you go. So, I mean, again, you know, but in the end, you know, does it matter moving them to second or third or from second, you know, third to second, you know, in the long run? It doesn't really matter, but you definitely know those are games you have to win. Georgia's in that same boat. You know, Georgia needs that win over Georgia Tech, because if they lose to Georgia Tech, they're done. I mean, there is no, you know, unless they win the SEC championship, I don't know if a 2-loss SEC champion maybe can get in, depending on who they face. Maybe it's Alabama, but if it's Auburn, I'm not sure. You know what I mean? I mean, so that's what I mean. I mean, there's some situations here that can kind of come up and that can really be kind of interesting, and there's some that can really kind of create some sort of challenges for the selection committee in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, if Auburn beats Alabama and Georgia Tech beats Georgia and then Georgia beats Auburn, I know that's a lot of what-ifs. Alabama is a team that represents the SEC in the playoff, I believe. A couple of games outside that spectrum that have some interesting side notes to it, and we're keeping an eye on the Apple Cup. taking place up in Washington and Washington State. Into this season, we were talking Huskies, but now in this one, it's the Cougars that have a chance to work their way into the Pac-12 title game.
Yeah, and this is something, you know, that they've never won the Pac-12 North crown. You know, the Washington State hasn't. So I think this would, you know, this is a big deal for them. And they haven't won an outright conference championship since 1930s, I think. So, I mean, it's definitely something Mike Leach, it could do a lot for Mike Leach, what he's done for that brand, that Washington State brand. It also might propel Mike Leach out of Pullman and into another job that will be coming open in the next couple of weeks, having that as well. So that's a game I'm watching as well, and I think one that the winner goes on to face USC in the Pac-12 championship.
And they're playing for the Fiesta Bowl or something like that. There's nothing going to be a playoff on the line of that one, but it's still interesting to watch. And the Apple Cup, always fun game to check out. And the other game that we wanted to talk about, a preview of the Mountain West title game, because Boise State and Fresno State are going to play 2 weeks in a row. They're going to start this weekend at Fresno State. Boise State quietly, perhaps, maybe because of the way UCF has played and the way that USF came into the season and even Memphis in there. Boise State, almost a forgotten entity, but now you look back at their schedule and they have a 3-point loss to Washington State. That certainly looks a lot better now. And then, of course, that loss to Virginia also early in the season. But they've won every game in the Mountain West. They've won seven consecutive games, and now they play Fresno State in the regular season finale to set up next week's Mountain West Championship game.
Yeah, definitely a weird situation. I know one of the notes for these two teams stated that the last time two programs faced each other in the regular season finale, then in a conference championship the following week, was back in 2012 when Stanford and UCLA played in back-to-back weeks. So it's definitely not something that occurs, you know, all the time. And it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how much these two teams will show each other, you know, because again, they do play in the conference championship. Boise State, as we mentioned, definitely needs the win because they're ranked and they want to continue to kind of make that push. But you wonder if Fresno State's going to try to, you know, showcase too much in this game. Boise State, by the way, has won 12 straight games against Mountain West Conference West opponents. So their last loss coming in 2013. So they have a lot riding on this game as well.
Yeah, and Boise State sitting there, an outside shot to get in those New Year's Day Six bowls. They're behind Memphis. They're behind UCF. You got to guess maybe there's a couple scenarios where the American champion could fall below them. I don't see it right now, but certainly Boise State needs to win out to even be considered for that. Getting respect late, though, and working their way into the top 25, but I don't know if I see a path for Boise State into that New Year's Day Six bowl. Not with Memphis playing as well as Memphis has, and Memphis already being in that American title game and going to play against an either undefeated UCF team or one-loss USF team.
Yeah, and that's going to be the difficulty, because let's say USF were to beat UCF this weekend, you know, I think they would probably get in the rankings maybe be 25 next week, possibly. And then, you know, again, if they were to beat Memphis, maybe they would move up over Boise State. I don't know if back-to-back wins over a Fresno State team would be enough to push Boise State over an American team. So I still think it's in the Americans' hands for them to get that group of five spot.
Well, Matt, I can't believe that we're sitting here right now about to have the Thanksgiving weekend games. It seems during the offseason that it takes forever to get here, and then once the season starts, you blink and it's almost done. But hopefully we can have a good smorgasbord of games over the next couple days. But it's, I can't believe we're already here. Like the last full regular season week of college football, it's gone by fast. I don't know if it has for you, but it's certainly gone by fast for me.
Yeah, it really has. And I think it's just interesting. You know, again, rivalry week to me is very, it's something special. You know, we talk about all these games. We didn't talk about USF or UCF, but I mean, again, those games, you know, these rivalries mean something to these players.
The Egg Bowl,
talk to these players. Yes,
Virginia
the Egg
Tech,
Bowl,
Virginia.
Mississippi State. Yes, I mean, so there's so much on this. It's fun, and as much as we are talking about playoffs and everything like that, it's just fun for these players and these coaches to go through what they're going through right now this week, and it'll be interesting to see what happens at the end of on Sunday when everything's kind of all said and done.
Well, Matt, happy Thanksgiving, and we will come back at everybody after Saturday's game. We'll try to put a Sunday podcast together so we can really kind of dissect what happens this weekend. I have a feeling that there's going to be some chaos this weekend. There wasn't any last weekend, which was expected, but I don't think we can go two weekends in a row without some chaos. I think we're going to have something crazy is going to happen this weekend.
Yeah, I would agree. I think something's going to happen. Now, whether it's one or two games, but something's going to kind of put a wrinkle in things and make things definitely interesting moving forward. And you too, Brant, and your family, have a happy Thanksgiving.
And a happy holiday. A happy Thanksgiving to all of you listening. Please subscribe, tell a friend, and be sure to check out our next podcast. It's the College Gridiron 365 podcast brought to you by the Orlando Sentinel.
The College Gridiron 365 podcast is produced by the Orlando Sentinel and hosted by Brant Parsons and Matt Mershell. Come back often and be sure to add the College Gridiron 365 podcast to your RSS and iTunes feeds. Follow everything college football at OrlandoSentinel.com.